In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Scripture says that our Lord knelt down, picked up dirt in his hand, and crafted man. His name was Adam. And when Adam realized that God's perfect creation was missing something, God caused him to fall into a deep sleep, and he slept. And from his side, God pulled a woman and crafted her from that rib. And he brought her to the man. And Adam rejoiced that this was now flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, for God had united them together in an inseparable union for the good of men, for the good of woman, and for the good of all creation. So it is quite fitting then that our Lord's first New Testament miracle is at a wedding. Though marriage has been abused by far too many, he doesn't throw the baby out with the bathwater, but he manifests his glory by restoring creation and by giving man back their vocations. The fall had turned marriage into a sinful burden, filled with backhanded compliments, passive-aggressive words, arguments, fights, abuse, and struggle between man and woman for power, as both lived for themselves in independence. They've run out of joy and gladness. Christ has come to cleanse holy matrimony from those parasitic sins, to forgive men and women, and to fill their vocations with joy. Marriage is not some outdated lifestyle, but marriage is the way of life on earth, so that men, women, and children might flourish. This miracle does not satisfy a need. It is different than all of Christ's other miracles. The lack of wine is not on the same level as being demon-possessed or blind or paralyzed. But this miracle reveals him as a Savior who comes not simply to take away evils, but who comes to give joy and gladness, who comes to give bliss and serenity, euphoria and ecstasy. Because of Christ, now man can be all that God created him to be. He can be manly, masculine, strong, protective, and providing. He need not be afraid of his masculinity as if somehow this is bad for the world. These traits are not restricted to marriage either. God created men for a different purpose than he created women. All should rejoice in that, and boys should aspire to it. He need not be ashamed that God has made him the head of woman. He need not be ashamed that the husband is the head of the wife. For if God were to come to the house, he would first ask the husband if he is fulfilling his responsibilities. For it is his responsibility to make sure all is done well. So whether married or single, men are to sacrifice themselves even as Christ has laid down himself for us all. So let the single man be a benefit to others, whether he is young or old. Let him through his work and his choices be a blessing to those around him. And let the married man be a benefit to his wife, giving all that he has to her in body, in finances, in possessions, in intellect, and in emotions. For Christ has come to gladden the heart. He has sacrificed himself to remove sin and to provide a celebratory feast enjoyed in this supper and spilling over into your daily life. Now you can work without fear, even though your work will still kill you, because Christ has removed the burden of sin. And the wine of the new covenant flows. Joy and gladness flow into your life. Now when husbands speak about their wives, they should do it with respect and honor. Let it be evident to all that she is the very apple of your eye. Though she is the weaker vessel physically and also vocationally, honor her God has placed her underneath you, not because you are far more capable than she, but because you need help. You do not have to be Christ who has done it all. You have a helper for emotional, physical, and financial needs. Thank God for that. And now woman likewise can be all that God created her to be. She can be womanly, feminine, and unashamed that she does not have the same authority as men. She should not try to act like a man or seek to take on the roles and positions of men, but she should rejoice in the place that God has given to her. God placed her under man not because she is somehow less than or incapable, but to cover up and to fill up what is lacking in men. And if Adam could rejoice in that and recognize in a perfect world he still needed help, how much more can we? For Christ has set her free and created her for this wonderful vocation of woman. Now she can be submissive and not worry about missing out on something. Now she does not need to seek independence and self-government, for she trusts that God has placed her here. Though underneath man, she can also live without fear, knowing that she is serving God. Scripture encourages women, whether married or single, that she is to be respectful and pure in all her conduct. Not ashamed of her submissive vocation, for God created it. In a perfect world, he created it, and he gave it to her out of love. She is different, and that is a joy. Christ has set her free and bestowed this great honor of womanhood upon her, and now she who is single can live for others, and she who is married can receive her husband's gifts with joy and gladness, even though those gifts may not be as great in the world's eyes as the gifts of others. Also, like a husband, she need not talk about her husband when he is not present. And if he does come up, then she speaks glowingly of him, not in jest, as our society is so wont to demean men and husbands, as the Homer Simpsons, the ones who cannot get it right, so women have to come in and clean up the mess. But she finds joy and gladness in his gifts and abilities, and seeks to cover and hide his faults and failures. So whether married or single, her beauty is not found in external adornment of braided hair, gold, jewelry, clothes, or makeup, for such things fade. But her beauty is found in a gentle and a quiet spirit, as Scripture says. And so she need not worry that her vocation will make her a pushover to others, for Scripture continues on by saying, in God's sight, this is very precious. He does not say that about man's vocation, but about woman's vocation. He calls it very precious in his sight. For the holy women of the past adorned themselves by submitting to their own husbands, and they are your example. But this is backwards from the way the world views things. The master of the feast is our fallen nature, the sinful world. The master of that feast is not complimenting the bridegroom for saving the best to the last. He's rebuking him. No one does that because it's foolish. Even if those guests are not drunk, their taste buds have still been dulled and they cannot fully enjoy the best of the best. Our fallen flesh thinks the same. Why must conjugal relations be restricted to only marriage when it's natural? Why must women be submissive to men when they are far more than capable in their own right? Why can't women have the authority? Why can't men and women explore their bodies when it is their body and they're trying to figure out their place in the world? Christ has lovingly given us back these joyful vocations, and our fallen nature has viewed them as foolish, backwards, stupid, and just impractical. Men and women are not equal in creation or in marriage, and that is good. They are complementary, each filling up what is lacking in the other, each living for the other, each not yearning to be in charge or to have the final say. but each yearning to fill up what the other needs and to satisfy it. Neither are ashamed of what they are, for they recognize that their body and their vocation is a gift from God, and they are to find joy and satisfaction in it. Let us impress these things upon our children and upon the young. For it is Satan who wants to blur the lines between male and female, between husband and wife, saying that they are simply two partners who have decided to live together, as our own state constitution would have us say. It is Satan who says you can be whatever you want when you grow up. That's an out-and-out lie. The devil is trying to blur the lines between men and women so that we fail to live in service to God. This is not, well, the outward manifestation of this has been seen in the last few years with all the different movements. But this has not been at work only in the past few years. This goes back well over half a century. Blurring the lines between men and women, both wanting to be independent from the other, and recognizing that money is the way that independence comes, neither wanting to serve each other or to live in love toward the other, but to live for the self. So it is a lie that you can be whatever you want when you grow up. You cannot. You have restrictions. We all have limits and restrictions intellectually, physically, our abilities, and yes, even according to our genders. But that's okay. Because Christ wants to give us joy where we are and not where we think we need to be. He comes to bring joy and gladness which flows from his cross to us. He has set us free and has handed us back the greatest gift possible. No longer do we need to spend our lives in a frantic pursuit of happiness and joy, because Christ comes to give us joy, happiness, and gladness where we are, whether we are young or old, single or married. You eat and drink, and the joy of salvation spills over into your daily life. Joy in manhood, joy in womanhood, joy in being single, joy in being married, joy in carrying out our assigned responsibilities. And that is what it means to have joy in Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.